I'll just ramble on a minute while everybody's getting out to their departments and getting back to their seats. But if you want to be opening your Bible to 1 Samuel 17, you are more than welcome to go ahead and do that. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Somehow over the past 6 years, unless my memory doesn't serve me correctly, I was talking to Brother Gary and a few others out in the foyer earlier. So he said, "What you preaching tonight?" And I said, "I'm just preaching what God gave me." He said, "Is it a good one?" I said, "I don't know yet." But I said, "It's what God gave me." And I told him, he said, "Where are you preaching from?" I told him, he said, "Well, that's always good." And I said, "Well, it's not the typical, when you hear the 1 Samuel 17, the typical youth pastory David and Goliath story." And like I said, unless my memory serves me incorrectly, I don't think I've ever preached that message of David and Goliath, you know, facing your giants, overcoming impossible odds. I don't think I've ever preached that. And it's not because I just don't like it, because it is a great message. It's something that's encouraging. If anything, you know, we hear it often, but I don't know. God's never led me to do it. And every time I get led to this scripture, I end up going in a different direction. And I was telling them earlier, I actually preached a message not too long ago out of this certain set of scriptures, where I was talking about all the people on the sidelines whenever they went to battle. All of those, it could have been their day to face the giants. It could have been their day to fight Goliath, but yet they all waited on their David. They had to wait on somebody else to get there to fight the battle for them. So if anything, you know, I'm kind of persuaded or encouraged us as Christians to go ahead and get into the battle and get into the fight. That was a few months ago. And again, I was just brought back to this scripture again. And as I started reading, something else just jumped out to me. But I'm going to throw in a plug here, I guess, for our church. If you don't take advantage of our media share or our audio share, I want to encourage you, go on our website, fpfamilyworshipcenter.com, click menu in the top. It drops down a little side scroll on the bottom. I think it's like message share or audio share. You can click on it. You can scroll through any of the past services, I guess, for the past 2 or 3 years. You get the adult Sunday school class. You get Wednesday nights. You get Sunday mornings. It's really something that you should try to take advantage of. If you miss a service, you can always listen to it. Or if you just need to hear something again because you thought, "Man, Dylan did really good, and I need to hear that again," y'all just hit me up tomorrow morning on the way to work again. Before I go any further, I'm just going to pray because I feel like I need to pray. Dear God, I just praise you, and I thank you so much again today for the opportunity, God, the privilege to get to speak your word, to get to speak the truth, to get to speak out what you sent with me, God. I know that I am nothing without you, Lord. This is not my show. It is all about you. I don't do this for fame. I don't do this for fortune, but God, I do this because it's my calling. And God, I pray that you'll just, Lord, let me fall by the wayside tonight, God. And Lord, let there be less of me and more of you in this place, God. I pray that you'll just let your anointing rest on my shoulders, God. And I pray that you let this word go forth in that, so that it will not return void, but God, so that we'll leave this place encouraged and ready to go forth, and God, to fight the battles that you've brought before us. It's all these things we ask and we pray in your holy name. Amen. So like I said, I'm just going to be preaching a little bit out of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you guys know how I do if you know how I preach. And if you don't know how I preach, you're going to figure out how I do here shortly. Like I said, tonight I want to preach a message. It's not something that you're going to hear at like a headliner at a major conference. It's not something that you're going to see a lot of people get up and say, "Well, this is just the meat of the Bible. You've got to have it." But then again, I do feel like it is a now word. It's something that we all need in our very own life. It's not some great theological mystery that I'm about to unravel or unfold for you tonight. It's very simple. It's very plain. But hopefully, before we leave this place tonight, you'll be able to step back, evaluate yourself, evaluate your life, and you'll be able to come up with either one of two options. You'll either see that you've been doing this thing right, and you'll be able to see that God has brought you this far, and He's going to keep continuing to take you forward from this moment. Or you're going to look at your life and you're going to say, I'm missing out on the greatest portion of my Christian walk, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. That's the topic I want to discuss tonight, about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know you're thinking, my gosh, how is he going to talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ out of David and Goliath? Hold with me. We'll figure it out. All right, so what we have is we've got a young boy named David. He's out in the field and he's watching his father's sheep. Later on in the story, we see that the father, or one of the brothers, said that they only have a few sheep. What are you doing out here? You should be back home watching our few sheep. So there's only a few sheep, and he's out there, and he's watching them over them. And Saul has taken the army out to fight a battle against the Philistines. So he's taking the army out. The army of Israel and the army of Philistines are on two mountains. And there's a valley below them, and they're both standing, and they're both encamped on these two mountaintops. So every single day, the great warrior of the Philistines, Mr. Goliath, he comes out, and he's a giant. He's got his spear, he's got his sword, he's got his shield, he's got his helmet, he's got his shield bearers out in front of him. And he comes out and he basically defies the army of Israel and defies the army of Saul, defies the army of the living God by saying, you know, I've come to fight. You won't even send anybody out here. If somebody can defeat me, then we'll all be your slaves. But nobody in the army is willing to go fight one man. But there's a young boy, and he's at home with his father, and his father looks at him. He says, hey, David, I need you to go and take some granola and some bread and some cheese. I need you to take all this stuff and take it to your brothers. You've got three older brothers, and they're off to war with King Saul. They're off to war for God. And I need you to take this stuff out to them so that they have some sustenance while they're there. So David gets up. He gathers all the stuff together, and he goes. And just as he gets there, Goliath is standing on the hill on the other side, and he's coming out every morning just like he came out every morning and every night for the past 40 days. And he stands up, and he starts giving his speech. And David, hearing the speech, is like, what is going on? What is going on? Why is an entire army of Israel standing here and letting Goliath speak to them this way? So he goes and he takes all of his stuff and he gives it to the supply holder, and the supply holder keeps it for him. And then he goes and he starts talking and mingling around the people, and the people are all the soldiers. They're saying, man, if somebody could just defeat Goliath, something awesome would happen for them. King Saul would give them a daughter as a wife. They'd have riches. Their family would never pay taxes for Israel again. There's so many great things. If somebody could just defeat Goliath. And something rises up inside David. He's like, I'll do it. And one of his brothers is like, no. You're much too young. You can't do this. You should be at home watching our sheep. We don't even have many sheep. You should be at home watching the sheep. What are you even doing here? But David says, why are we standing aside and letting a man speak against us? Why are we facing a giant and just cowering down in front of him? Do you not know who our God is? Do you not know what our God is capable of? Why are we standing here while one man stands in front of us and holds us back? So word gets around to King Saul. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to get a drink of water. My tongue is dry. So, word gets around to King Saul. King Saul's like, well, just bring this guy before me. This guy's saying he's willing to go fight. Bring him. Nobody. We've been standing out here for a month, and nobody else is willing to fight. Bring him to me. So they bring, and I'm sure King Saul is probably expecting something else. But instead, they bring out a little boy, a young man, ruddy and handsome, not a warrior, but a lad. And at first Saul's like, man, you can't do this. You'll get killed. You're just a youth. This man has been fighting people since he's been your age. He's a giant. This man is a hardened warrior. He's a savage on the battlefield. And you're just a little boy wanting to go out and fight this battle. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Well, after a little bit of conversation, David finally persuades King Saul into letting him go and face the giant. But King Saul says, no, I've got one thing I want you to do. Let's put some armor on you. You can't go like that. Let's put some armor. So they put all the armor on David. And David walks around. He's like, I just don't know. I just don't like this. Can't move right. The helmet's a little big. Keeps falling off the side of my head. I just don't like this. So he takes it off and he goes down to the creek and he picks up 5 smooth stones and he fills them around. He's like, yeah, these will do. So he goes back, and you guys know the rest of the story, but I'm going to preach it just because I can, because it's my time and you got to sit here and listen until I dismiss you. So he goes and he picks up 5 stones, and the next time that Goliath comes out, David goes down to battle with him. And Goliath is giving his speech, and little boy walks out. Goliath is, trying to figure out what's going on. They got some kind of scheme going on here. Sending a little boy. All of a sudden, I get down here. They're going to jump me. What's going on around here? He says, am I a dog that you bring a little stick out here to me? I'll eat you, son. What are you doing? David looks up at Goliath and he tells him, he said, you may come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come at you with the name of the Lord. And all of a sudden, David takes off running. I don't care how big you are, how bad you think you are. Somebody takes off in a dead sprint towards you, it'll take you back a little bit. David takes off running towards Goliath, and Goliath is just kind of like, oh, I don't know what to do. David reaches into his pocket and of his bag, and he grabs one of those stones, and he starts slinging that slingshot, and he looses a stone, and the Bible says that the stone sinks deep into the Goliath's forehead, and Goliath falls face forward into the dirt. Now, David doesn't even have a sword because he's went out there and all he's got is just his little street clothes and a little satchel and a slingshot. So David runs up, and I can't even imagine how small David is and how big this sword is of the giant. But he grabs that sword and he drags it out and he cuts the giant's head off with his own sword. And then the army of Israel defeats the army of the Philistines. You're still trying to question yourself and question me of why or how are we getting to the fact of having a personal relationship with God out of this story. And if I were to tell you, I don't really know, and I just wanted to tell that story, it might be the truth. But if we go back and we look at one little set of scriptures, 2 small verses in this chapter, and I'm going to read it. I'm in New King James tonight. So this is in 1 Samuel 17. This is verses 38 and 39. It says, so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword around his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. As I was reading, I read a lot of scripture when I'm getting ready to preach. Because I want to make sure that I'm doing it justice. But there was a different translation. I don't exactly remember which translation it was because I read about 40. And David says, I can't fight in this because I'm not used to it. I can't fight with this stuff because I'm not used to it. Now, I don't think Saul was, I really think Saul was in his best intentions whenever he took David to the side and he said, look, if you're going to go fight the giant, put this helmet on, put on my armor, use my sword and go forth. Because Saul is the king of Israel. Who else in all of the land is going to have better armor or better weapons than the king? He's dressed to the nines. He looks like he's ready for battle. I mean, if no one else had a sword on the entire battlefield, they're like, well, we better make sure the king's got a sword, because if our king don't have a sword, we're in trouble. So I don't think there was anything, malicious or even haughty about Saul's intentions whenever he said, David, let me put this other stuff on you. But something wasn't right. It just don't feel right. You ever saw like a little kid? I love like playing in the yard with my kids, and Skyle, she plays softball, and she's obviously a lot bigger than Owen. So we'll get out them there playing, and Owen will put on Sky's softball helmet, and he'll take off running. And the softball helmet is just bobbling all over his body, and he can't see. He don't know where he's running. He's tripping. He's falling. This is how I imagine David as he tries to, you know, prepare for battle, and he's putting on this chainmail of Saul, and it goes nearly to the ground, and he's tying this sword with a belt, and he's having to like go to this bottom link and cutting a new hole so the sword will fit around him, and he puts this helmet on his head, and it's turned sideways and falling off, and he says, "This just don't feel right. There's nothing wrong with this armor. If anything, it's great." The Bible even says that a little later in Scripture, it says that the people sing a song about Saul, about how Saul has slayed his thousand. So this armor, this sword, it had been through the battle. It had seen some stuff. You know, no doubt it had protected Saul and it had helped him in many, many victories. This armor was powerful. But this armor was Saul's armor. See, when David chose to go fight Goliath, he couldn't wear Saul's armor because Saul's armor wasn't right for David. See, in the past, David had been out in the field watching sheep. The Bible says that a lion came. And David took out his slingshot and he slung a stone and he slew the lion. The Bible also says that a bear came. And when the bear came, the Bible says that David took out his sling and he slew the bear. Now, I'm not much of a sheep watcher. Not really my thing. But I just can't, you tell me if I'm wrong, but I just can't possibly imagine that sheep watching a few sheep in the desert is really like a tedious task where you're tied up all day long, every day. I imagine there's probably a lot of sitting around watching a bunch of sheep do sheep things. They're eating. That's why they call it counting sheep. They just sat out there and they counted sheep all day long. It puts you to sleep. Just ask Serta. Is it Serta or Seely? I don't know. Serta. So, I have no doubt in my mind that David had a lot of free time. And I just bet, like any young boy, I remember going out when I was a child and taking my BB gun. And I promise, I felt like John Wayne with my red rider. Red Waddle. I could shoot a G.I. Joe from anywhere I wanted to. I just set them jokers up, and I could shoot anything with my little Red Ryder BB gun. That's all I did. From the time I got home from school in the afternoons, we went outside and we played and we shot BB guns. We blew up fireworks. We had a great life. Dangerous, but great. You know, I can see David out in the field. I guarantee you he could put a stone anywhere he wanted to put it, from any sitting, standing, any distance. If he saw a target, I have no doubt in my mind that he could just let that sling go and shoot that rock wherever he wanted to put it. Because it was consistent. It was something that he did every single day of his life. Every day, in and out, he put in hours and hours and hours of work. Hundreds, if not thousands, of little stones slung. It said that the Bible goes down and he picks out five smooth stones. He knew exactly which stones he was looking for whenever he picked them up to go. Because they were the ones like he shot every single day. You know, years and years and years of repetition David knew when he went to battle that he could go dressed as Saul, wearing some of the finest armor in the world, using the no doubt probably the best sword in the kingdom. He could look the part. He could walk the walk. Or he could go and do the exact same thing he had done time and time again. David knew he had been called. David knew he had been purposed. David knew that he had been anointed. He knew that he had been faithful. He knew that he had been diligent. Every single day he did the exact same thing over and over and over and over until it was just muscle memory. So when the giant came, it was no different than any other day. It was no different than knocking the top off of a Coke can. It was no different than knocking a pebble off of this pebble. It was no different than slinging it at the wolf or slinging it at the bear or slinging it at the lion. It was no different because he was consistent at what he did. Over and over and over. If you'll stay with me just a few more minutes, I'm going to find a way to start wrapping it up. Now, Saul's armor, it was great. No doubt. But David knew better than to take somebody else's stuff into battle. See, my fear as a pastor in the generation that we're in and the time that we're in is that we as Christians, and I say we, myself, just as you, just as your kids, just as your husband, my fear is that we're going to war, we're going to battle, but we're not used to being able to fight like this. We're not used to going into battle and fighting for ourselves because we rely so heavily on somebody else's armor or somebody else's sword, somebody else's anointing, somebody else's calling, someone else's purpose. Pastor, you have strong faith. You've been through a lot. But when I go to battle, I can't rely on pastor's thing because if I start going to battle relying on what pastor has done, I've not been there. I don't know how to fight a battle like pastor because I'm not pastor. A fear that a lot of us have not built our own personal relationship with God. And so when we go to battle and when hard times come and the enemy knocks at our door, that we try to suit up in Saul's armor. We try to take, and I'm not saying that you can't take the sermon that's preached tonight or the sermon that was preached on Sunday and use those in battle. That's what we're here for, to feed and equip you. But if that's all you're taking to battle, you're not going to be effective. I love my granny to death. I do. I love my granny to death. She has an awesome relationship with God. God's brought her through so much in her life. But granny's relationship with God is not going to get me through the battle. Granny's idea of God, granny's God, the God that granny serves, is her own personal relationship that she has with God. She has built a communicable relationship with Him. And so if I go to battle and I start trying to use granny's God, granny's relationship, granny's stuff, granny's armor, granny's sword, granny's helmet, it's not going to help me in my battle. I have to build a personal relationship with Jesus on my very own, and I have to do it consistently. If we want to be victorious as Christians, we're going to have to learn how to fight our own battles with our own God, with our own relationship. So in closing, if you want to come play, I'm probably further from closing than I intend on being, so play something you can play a long time. This is a lot better preaching than y'all are putting on. I mean, y'all should be really supporting me at this point because this is a good word. So How do I do that? How do I have a personal relationship with Jesus? You know, I've got up here a lot of times and I preach the message. I make you feel bad about yourself. I give an altar call and we go home. But tonight, I feel encouraged to give you something to build off of. I'm not just here to tear you down as a Christian and say, go home and figure it out for yourself. So I try to rush a little bit in the beginning so that I can take a little bit of time here in the ending. But how do I have a personal relationship with Jesus? How do you have a personal relationship with anybody? Is there communication? Spending time. So my first little point is, you know, if I want to have a personal relationship with Jesus, I need to spend time with Him and in His Word. I got to get to know God. David didn't just pick up a stone one day and a sling one day and then the next day go out and slay the giant. It's through patience and practice and time. Every single day he picked up his sling and he shot stones. He knew who God was and he knew who he was. Because of the relationship that he had built time after time after time after time. He knew that he could be victorious over the giant because he was victorious over the lion. He knew that he could be victorious over the lion because he was victorious over the bear. He knew he could be victorious over the bear because he had already shot every single thing that he could shoot in the desert. Consistency in the Word of God builds our relationship. A foundation that's set on the rock. If you don't have that, you're missing out. You can come to church every single day of your life. You can read the hymns, you can sing the songs, you can play Pandora, whatever it is that you do to get in your mindset of worship. You can listen to the best preachers in the entire world, like Dylan Hillier and Terry DeHart. You know what? You can do that. But if you don't have a personal relationship with Him, it's not going to really do you anything in the hard times. So first of all, we spend time in His Word. Secondly, prayer. Did you know that over 70% of divorces, if you ask one of the partners in a divorce, 70% of the time they're going to say the reason they are divorced is because of a lack of communication. If we take time to communicate with one another on this earth to build a relationship, I build a relationship with my spouse, with Tasha, by communicating with her. I tell her what I want and what I need, and she tells me what she wants and what she needs, and we spend time together. We communicate. Don't get so busy in your prayer life that it just becomes a one-way street of you telling God what you need. We need to have a prayer life where we spend time with God, allowing Him to speak back to us so that we can build a firm foundation. So spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. A lost art, if you will, of our Christian relationship or our Christian walk is fasting. I hardly ever hear anybody preach or teach about fasting ever. Fasting is so effective, and you're looking at me with big eyes. You're like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Do anything. There's something about getting to the point in your life where you decide that you would rather block off this physical man and give him, make himself hungry. To starve off the physical man so that you get a hunger and a thirst for God. The Bible says that if we hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, don't be afraid to give up something for God. That's how you build a relationship with Him. It's saying, I don't need that hamburger tonight for dinner. But what I do need is I need an encounter with you. Lay down some stuff for God. And for real, in closing, my fourth and final thing is to give. We are in a receiving world. We love to get stuff. I'll be honest, I love getting gifts. I do. You know, you buy me anything, you bring to me, I'm like, oh, yeah. Just makes you feel good when somebody gives you something. But I'm learning, the older that I get, maybe even more than I like getting, I love giving. The look on my little girl's face whenever I walk in and just surprise them with something, there's nothing else better in the world. When I walk up to you and I don't know your situation, I don't know your circumstance, I don't know your need, but God says, hey, go give them $20, go give them 50 ducks. And I go and I not ducks, not chickens, not waterfowl, dollar bills. I tickled myself. But, you know, there's just something about it. When I go and I give, and just that look, you know, the look of appreciation where they're just like, man, this is what I needed. You know, you don't know what people are going through. Sometimes it may not seem like much to you, $20 to take out of your check to hand to somebody, but on a Wednesday night when stuff is real tight and they don't know how they're going to make till Friday payday and they're just worried about it, and you walk up because God laid it on your heart to give. You say, I don't really know why, I don't know how, but God told me to give you $20 tonight before you go home. And they think, oh, this is going to feed me lunch. This is going to put gas in my car. We don't know. Give. Give. And when you feel like you've given enough, give a little more. When we give, it says that they'll be given back to us. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I don't give just so that I get back, but I give because I know that God is going to give me back. I promise, you cannot outgive God. Please try. You want to get blessed, you try to outgive God, and what you get back is going to blow you away. I'm not trying to preach a blessed message. I'm trying to preach a personal relationship message. I'm going to rein it back in. So those are my four points, I guess. And as I'm closing up, I think I've actually done pretty well tonight. I've not held you too long. If you want to have a successful Christian life, I want to encourage you to find God and find a personal relationship with Him. Saul's life experiences, Saul's armor, Saul's helmet, Saul's sword couldn't help David on the battlefield. If anything, they were going to hinder David on the battlefield. But what David had done consistently every single day of his life up to that moment paid off in the moment that he let that rock go out of his sling and it sank into the head of the enemy that was at his face. So you say, I don't know how I'm going to get through the situation I'm in. I don't know how to get through the circumstance that I am. I don't know how I'm going to get past this moment because the giants are at my door. Build a relationship. Start today. Start tonight. Before you get in bed, when you get home, you look at me and you think, well, Dylan, I already heard some word tonight. I don't care. Go home. Read another devotional. Read your Bible. If you're facing something fat, don't go eat tonight after church. Skip Don Chico's. Go home and let your belly be a little hungry so that whenever you get in bed tonight, you can say, God, I gave up something because I was really hungry tonight. But I need you to work in this situation. You start doing the little things day in and day out. And when the big things come your way, they won't seem that big. To everybody else, Goliath was a monster. To every single other person in that army that was standing on that mountaintop looking out into that valley, Goliath was a huge obstacle that they could not overcome. But when David got there, it was just like any other day. David got there and he thought, this is no different than anything else I've done day in and day out up to this moment. You start working on your personal relationship with God today. You build a personal relationship. You build a foundation today, and it'll carry you from moment to moment to moment. And as you're standing up, I'm going to pray. But very last thing I have to say is, you don't have to be the biggest. David was small. You don't have to be the brightest. David was a shepherd. You don't have to be the most capable. He wasn't a warrior. But when God calls you to do something, He's calling you to do it. When the battle comes to your door, it's there for you to take care of. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't call around the church and say, I need you to pray for me. I need you to lay five on me. No, I'm not trying to teach Christianity rolled up into a bundle of it's you, yourself, and you've got nobody else in the world to rely on. That's not what this message is about, and I hope you don't interpret it that way. What I'm preaching on tonight is that if you want to be successful as a Christian, you need to have a personal relationship to rely on. All you have to do is just be you. Be you. I tell the teens all the time, be yourself because everybody else is already taken. I can't be pastor because pastor's already pastor. I have to be Dylan because Dylan is the only person on the 7 billion people on the earth that is not already occupied by somebody else. I have to be Dylan. You be you. You do you. And you start tonight on a personal relationship with God, and you see how far it carries you. And someday, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe 10 years from now, I promise you can come back and you can look at this moment and you can say, that was the night that it started. That's the night where everything seemed to get a little bit easier. When the battles came and the storms were raging and the giants came, it wasn't that big of a deal anymore. Because I know where I stand. Dear God, I praise You and I thank You so much for allowing me to be in this room and to get to preach this Word. God, I know that it won't return void, but God, I pray that You'll just let it captivate our hearts and cultivate in our minds over the next 24 hours, God, that we'll just hear this Word and know that You've called us to do so much more than what we're doing, God, and that You've got a purpose and a plan and a destiny for us. But if we're ever going to reach the next level and to get from where we're at to where You want us to be, we're going to have to start building a relationship with You that's daily, God. Just the same way that David used that sling every single day, God, I pray that we'll just wake up and we'll enjoy time in the Word and enjoy time in prayer. And God, would You lead us to fast, Lord, let us fast. And God, when You call us to give, God, let us give so that we can grow that relationship with You so that when the hard times come, God, that we will not be shaken and we will not be stirred, God, but we'll stand firm on the foundation that we have in You, our Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And You will know that You're going to lead us forth. And God, we will be victorious and we will walk effectively in this life. All these things we ask and we pray in Your holy name. Amen. I love you guys. I appreciate you being here. Thank you for